The future. A relentless, desperate wasteland ravaged by nuclear war. With the destruction of the internet and search engines such as Google, accurate information about the past is traded like currency. Two brave travelers are commissioned with the dangerous task of going back through time to gather as much information as they can to find out about the late 20th and early 21st centuries in hopes that a future society may rebuild what was lost and avoid the horror of a smoldering radioactive planet. But there is a catch. The travelers' journey back across eons of time is a one-way trip, leaving them stranded in the past.
Wait, what?
There's no way to communicate their findings to the future other than burying reinforced time capsules in the ground.
Are you serious?
In the hopes that one day recordings such as these will be unearthed to provide a glimpse of the world that once was.
All right.
This is the mission of the crispy coated robots, and it must succeed. Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, it's Joseph.
Hey, it's George. Welcome to Crispy Coated Robots, episode 173. 173 episodes. Today, this is going to be so great. It is about the television show, the U.S. version, television show of The Office. We're going to be talking about our top five favorite Office episodes. And what's our second topic, Joseph?
It is the top items you can get in the frozen food aisles at your grocery store.
Perfect. So two of our favorite things. So pause this recording right now. Go get something out of the freezer, pizza, whatever, ice cream, whatever you got. Come back to the episode and we'll talk about The Office, because this is going to be hey, look at there. Hey, Tom,
this is not the actual theme. George is playing on a piano, so you can't get us.
Tom, don't play this. Jim gets weirded out, but no, not
also George on piano.
No, just we don't need anything. Okay, now that's Quincy Jones.
Yeah, that's big money too. Stop it, Tom. Big money, stop.
I don't think Tom understands.
You big dummy. Tom, yeah. Stop it. You big. I'm coming, Elizabeth.
All right.
I'm coming, but, Elizabeth.
The concept of a documentary style series that follows a paper company, okay? Paper distribution in Pennsylvania. It doesn't sound like much, but it really is one of the most successful TV comedies of all time from recent years. But, and it's so great. I know Jim, he's going to want to start with the frozen aisle.
I mean, frozen foods. And for my list for the frozen foods, I pick stuff that is a little off kilter that you might not have tried before. There's a couple favorites in there, but there's some stuff that is kind of out there. So, Joseph, what is your number five frozen food item?
Well, if we're going to talk about frozen foods, we have to talk a little bit about the history of where frozen foods come from. We have to talk about Clarence Birdseye, because he is known as the founder of frozen foods.
You big dummy. Just get to... I don't know.
In 1927, he's a Canadian. Elizabeth.
Hey, come on.
And he's a Canadian, and basically he's the one that really created the whole idea of the patented instant freeze machine. Basically, what he found out is that, you know, if you quickly freeze everything, flash freeze is what it's called, to negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit, that you can preserve the food. Like, there was frozen food before this time. In fact, it goes all the way back to 1000 BC in China. The problem with it is that most of the time the food would break down because it wouldn't get cold enough quick enough. And so when you would reheat it, it was always mushy and all that. But he had this flash freezing process that worked. And so he started with it. it really got traction. Frozen foods really got traction in World War II, because while canned foods were served to the servicemen at home, it was really encouraged for Americans to eat frozen food because it was using fewer ration points than canned foods were. So a lot of people use that. And then obviously the Swanson brothers really hit it home big in the 1950s. With the 98 cents TV dinner. So frozen foods has its history, along with a little bit of office humor there.
The and history of frozen foods has been brought to you by the Chubb Corporation. Thank you.
That's what she said. Chubb.
So my number five on that, my number five.
Sorry, Joseph. We don't have any time.
We have time for your number five. We got to move on. George just woke up. Sorry, Joseph. Go ahead.
Okay. My number five is TV dinners. That's going to be TV my number five. Dinner. Whether it's a Hungry Man dinner, whether it's a Lean Cuisine, it is, you know, my personal favorite, Cafe Steamers. It's something that you can just take to work with you or at home, throw it in the microwave, heat it up, and you have a whole meal. So there you go.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
That's what she said.
It's an interesting ZZ Top video too, when the TV dinners come alive.
That's right, George's favorite.
All right, George, what's your number five?
My number five, juice concentrates.
Oh boy!
So like orange juice frozen, but there you go. I'm starting slow.
Yes.
Build up.
Working it up. My Working number five up. Is Caribbean Delight's Jamaican beef patty. This kind of Jamaican delight, it's kind of like a hot pocket, has actually a lot of beef in it. It's pretty filling too. So you can buy, I mean, they got an interesting texture on their the actual crust around the beef patty. But yes, you can actually.
That sounds disgusting.
Actually go to Jamaica. When I get them, no one else eats them in my house, so I can have. But it's actually pretty good stuff. So Caribbean Delight's Jamaica beef patty. Look for it in your local grocer's freezer. There you go.
So your top five doesn't even make it in the Kovacic household's top five.
It's kind of, the Jamaican beef.
Caribbean Delights.
Just what? Wait. There's a lot more. Caribbean Delights Jamaican beef patty. So there's usually two in a box because they're pretty stuffed. But yeah. So, I mean, mine are kind of off. You have to look for them. But when you do, you'll be treated to something very special. All right. The Office. Number five episode for you, Joseph.
Coming in season 4, episode 9, The Dinner Party. This is considered to be one of the funniest, if not the funniest episode by fans. And it is the best quote of the line is snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. You have no idea the physical toll that 3 vasectomies have on a person. That's right. This is when Michael invites office workers to a dinner party.
Only couples. This is my number one. Only couples.
Wow. Only couples. And basically, what's great about this, and what's great about the episode is it really signifies what the office is all about, which is uncomfortable situations, awkward situations, cringeworthy situations.
Yes.
And what's more cringeworthy than when the host couple start fighting? At first, slightly bickering, and then it just turns out to a brawl, and like everyone's trying to figure out how in the heck to leave. I love this episode because Jan, Michael's partner, who is, you know, former boss, I should say, with it at this point, holds her own. I mean, they're just going back and forth.
She's taken over the complete condo. And the funny thing, one of the bloopers that they couldn't get around when you watch the episode was when he shows his TV, how small it is. He goes, finally got a plasma.
$200.
$200. That is the best use of a pan out ever.
Yes,
it starts close up and it pulls back and you see it's not even the size of a lunch kit.
Yeah.
It's like it's literally a 10-inch plasma TV that she ends up breaking, and he's like, that's $200, which is awesome.
How does it get broken? What does she throw at it?
She throws the coveted Dundee award.
Yes. Yeah. So good. But yeah, the quote from character Jim Halpert on that is, Michael and Jan seem to be playing their own separate game, and it's called Let's See How Uncomfortable We Can Make Our Guests. And then he leans into the camera. They're both winning. But oh man.
Anything
yeah.
to add, George, on that episode? This is your number one?
This is my number one. This was the first Office episode after the Writers Guild strike in 2007, 2008. But on a side thing, Dwight is not with, I forget the character's name.
Angela.
Angela. He can't go Andy. To the party. So he spends the entire episode trying to scrounge up a date so he can crash it. Do you remember who he gets, Joseph?
His former babysitter, which yes. is
childhood
just,
babysitter. Yes.
Just awful.
So good. So good.
What's your number five, George?
My number five comes mine are going to go in order except for the dinner party. Mine are going to go in consecutive order. So this was a setup for a two-part season three finale, season three, episode 23 called Beach Games. And so Michael, he's anticipating leaving Scranton and Dunder Mifflin and Scranton. And so he wants to choose his successor, like they would let him do that anyway. So he holds kind of like this survivor thing. And some of the game challenges are wrestling in those absurd inflatable sumo suits and walking across hot coals and then racing blindfold. But Pam, the character of Pam Beasley, really shines and steals the show in this, because she basically gets fed up and calls out all of her coworkers for not attending her art show and names Jim for letting their friendship kind of fizzle out. You know, she says, you know, that she canceled a marriage and now they're not even friends anymore. You know, her and Jim, but Beach Party season three.
All right. My number five.
Sorry, Beach Games. Sorry.
My number five shows up in a very early season. I think it's either season two, when they find Michael's script for Threat Level Midnight with Michael Scarn. Yes. Mine is the actual episode Threat Level Midnight, where they make the movie. And the movie is being showed. Of course, Michael takes it seriously. And his Holly is just like trying to figure out what the heck is this. You know, he's like, you never support my film career. He goes, I never knew about it. And the funny thing is, you know, my favorite line in this was, next up was the Scar Nebulous. He actually has a series of movies. Then he goes, I also have my HBO special, Michael Scott .. or whatever it was. But the actual movie's great. You get the Scarn dance, which I hear they're doing this. They actually have office nights at like amateur baseball games, and they bring out people to do the Scarn together. I mean, it's just a ridiculous movie, and the way it's made so cheaply, and the fact that he blows up Toby's head in slow motion over and over again is another great part of it. But Threat Level Midnight, cliche movie, but very funny. That's my number five.
And from the time that they talked about it, because it was just a throwaway thing.
Yeah.
And like seasons before, and then somebody actually got it approved and made. And so it's nice to see that come back around. So
yeah,
that one's a good one.
It's good too, because you know, anybody makes fun of it, he turns it off immediately, runs away. Then he realizes it is pretty bad and kind of goes with it and has fun with it. So it is a good episode. So and also the great line by Rashida Jones's character, who filmed it and she's moved on, was like, hey baby, ever bang a whole bachelor party? So they go back and interview her about that. But yeah, great episode. Threat Level Midnight's my number five. Back to the frozen food aisle. Joseph, what's your number four?
Waffles. Frozen waffles. Eggos, you know, name brand, whatever, but waffles are the way to go. Parenting tip, it's great. You send your kid to the bus stop with a waffle in hand, put a little bit of butter on it, they're good to go. That's what we did with my daughter when she was in elementary school. We're like, here's a waffle.
Kids love waffles and frozen pizza.
No, daddy, please.
Yeah.
No.
George, you're number four.
Number four, Orida Golden Crinkle French Fries.
Okay, so that I'm going to go with that and say that we have a match on that, because that's my number three, French fries.
Wow. Very nice.
I wanted to be careful. I didn't want to be too broad. I was waiting for Jim to say something about
French
juice
fries.
Concentrates.
That's all French fries. Yeah.
Yeah. I have.
Well,
three
Joseph was kind of like towing the line on TV dinners because there's so many different TV dinners out there.
True, but
yeah. But okay. Anything to add, George?
Delicious.
Okay.
I don't think anyone. You know, I suspect people that cut their own fries. Like, this is the way you have home fries, is that you buy them from the frozen aisle, you know, to sit there and with a potato. And
what
cut.
Are we, animals? Savages? Yeah, hey,
come on.
Mean, they're good in the oven, but with the air fryer, it really does taste like the actual
thing. Air fryer was like the best part, right? You know, because at that point, it's like, man, now they really are crisp.
Yeah. So, all right. So my number four is Stouffer's creamed chip beef. Stouffer's creamed chip beef, which comes in a bag. You have beef and you had cream, and usually put it, you make some toast and you microwave the bag and then you pour it over some toast and
seeing
eat
a trend here, Jim, of beef items here.
Yeah,
now, does the family eat?
Well, actually, my wife likes this. She actually kind of turned me on to it, but she doesn't eat it anymore. It was kind of a college food, but and I don't really eat it that much, but I do remember it's memorable and it's easy to get off. Like I said, you're just pouring it over bread. It's almost like an open face sandwich, like from back in the day with like turkey and a big mashed potato on that they used to have in restaurants. But yeah, Stouffer's creamed chipped beef is my number four. So look nice. For it in your aisle. You'll have a nice little delight. Okay, so we're on out to the office.
I think
four.
Too, if we have a listener,
yeah,
that will go through when we're done with this episode.
Yeah,
any listener that will email crispycoatedrobots@gmail.com mm-hmm. with a picture of each of these items. you don't have to buy them, but a picture that you took of you holding the item. So we don't want you just to go, you know, get it off the internet unless there's a picture of you on the internet holding the item. But we'll get Tom to send you some merch.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
They have to take the picture outside the grocery store. They cannot go into the grocery store find
it.
No, they
can do
that.
They
have proof of purchase. We have to have a proof of purchase.
No,
they actually bought
purchase,
it.
Though. That's
no, Joseph, this is my idea. So hush.
Okay.
This is,
wow.
I'll fund it.
This
Joseph
is corned beef
by
hash.
George on the
this
show.
Is corned beef hash.
It's a first on the show. Joseph is hushed by George. All right. So we're on now to number four office episode for you, Joseph.
Coming in episode 12 on season two, The Injury. This is the best. I'm just going to read you the quote. It tells you the whole story. First of all, Michael Scott suffers from an injury, and this is why he says, I enjoy having breakfast in bed. I like walking. I like waking up to the smell of bacon. Sue me. And since I don't have a butler, I have to do it myself. So most nights before I go to bed, I will lay six strips of bacon out on my George Foreman grill. Then I go to sleep. When I wake up, I plug the grill. I go back to sleep and wake up again. Then I wake up and smell the crackling bacon. It's delicious. It's good for me. It's the perfect way to start the day. Today, I got up, stepped up to the grill. It clamped down on my foot. That's it. I don't see what's so hard to believe about that. So Michael suffers from this injury. Dwight, who, you know, is his devotee lackey, rushes over to help Michael in his crisis and actually gets into a real car wreck and suffers a concussion where he's actually like, really seriously hurt. And this is the great thing that most of my, I think all of them, I don't think I go past season four because there's something about the Michael Scott character in the first couple of seasons to where he's not just this buffoon, which they sort of turn him into sort of this nice, lovable buffoon. And I get the reason why the writers had to do that, because I don't think you could sustain the character having sort of a nasty, dark side to him for too long. That's why Gervais's character could only really last two seasons, because yes, he was a buffoon, but he was also sort of dark and nasty, and putting him in sort of this position of power was sort of like, you know, a ship of fools kind of thing of like, who's leading the ship here, this idiot, and he happens to be nasty. And this is Michael, the thing that I like about this episode is this is Michael showing how self-centered he is, because one of the great lines.
I watched this episode last night, Joseph, and you know, at the end, you have the kind of turning of that where he actually goes in with Dwight to do the MRI and puts away his crutches and walks in there and kind of has a, you know.
He does, but like that's the whole thing. It's like there's this dark side to him through the whole thing. And that's the thing is that they have to make him likable. Right. You know, yeah.
There's the big unlikable scene when the wheelchair guy walks in there. And he has the picture of Forrest Gump, and he has a picture of him and Big. He's like, this is from, Philadelphia. He's like, no, this is not piano with Robert Loggia.
So I love it because he's constantly telling people, I burnt my foot. You know, it's like he's trying to tell the doctor which one's worse, a head wound or a foot wound, yeah. You know? So I just love this episode. I think it shows a lot about, you know, the complexity of this character himself. So number four for me is the injury.
One of my favorite lines, I mean, this is an honorable mention for me. One of my favorite lines was when he's like asking the guy in the wheelchair, how long is it to just take you to brush your teeth? He's about 30 seconds. Wow, that's three times more than it takes me. Everybody just looks at each other like, what did he say?
So, that's what she said.
All right, so on now to George, number four. What you got?
So storylines that are set outside of the office are always kind of risky. But this one really delivers. It's from season four, excuse me, episode four called Money. And so Jim and Pam, they learn more about Dwight and his cousin Mose because they spend the night at the Schrute farm for their agritourism bed and breakfast. And the activities that they have on the farm, manure spreading, a table making demonstration, of course, making beet wine. Yes. So while all that's happening, Michael on Oscar's recommendation, Oscar in accounting, decides to declare bankruptcy literally by getting everyone's attention in the office and saying, I declare bankruptcy. And then we watch as he takes a second job telemarketing diet pills or something to afford all of Jan's spending habits. But despite it being kind of an hour long thing from start to finish, it's pretty lean and very, it keeps you captivated the whole time. But Money is my number four.
All right. My number four features the one and only Prison Mike. It's the convict episode from season three where they actually get Jim's, we'll forget the name of town was, but they inherit their branch into the office and they find out one of the employees has a criminal record. So I guess in the convict, every time Michael tries to talk about prison and stuff like that, the actual convict talks about how prison is better and says that, you know, his cell was bigger than Michael's office. And Kevin's like, wow, prison sounds better than Dunder Mifflin. So Michael starts playing into that. You know, he has outdoor time when it's like 27 degrees outside. They all go out in the snow for outdoor time to rival the prison. And then he goes, anybody work out? He pulls that little 2.5 pound weight from his trunk. Anybody want to pump some iron? He's like, Jim's like, what is that, a five? He says 2.5. But of course, the greatest part of the episode, a bunch of people have t-shirts, is Prison Mike, where he puts on the bandana. And yes. he does his scared straight bit, you know, and finally ends up saying the Dementors were everywhere in prison. And then, and of course, Karen, Jim's girlfriend's like in Harry Potter. No, not like in Harry Potter, but tanks, Andy, tanks, the stupid accent. But the funniest line is when he goes, I'm going to scare you straight. And he's like, and Phyllis questions him. He's like, don't make me push up on you, bitch. And then even Dwight goes, okay, hold on. Get too much in character. But Prison Mike episode, The Convict, is one of my definitely favorite ones. And I got to watch the... Every time I stumble upon it, I got to watch at least Prison Mike in that episode. So that's my number four. On now to number three, Frozen Food, and we'll take a little break. What's yours, Joseph?
French fries.
French fries. George, you're number three.
Number three, Jimmy Dean, bacon and egg and cheese croissant sandwich.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
That's very specific. I would go on with Jimmy Dean's, but I like it, George.
I have these quite regularly, about two times a week.
Jimmy Dean,
but it's the croissant. That's what does it.
Yeah. Well, he had some interesting songs, of course. You know, did he do Big John? I think. He did a song called "Please Pass the Biscuits."
Yep,
I have no idea. I don't even
know. Musical career of Jimmy Dean. Okay, what Bond movie was he in?
I remember he was in a Bond movie. Biscuits Are Forever.
That's right. That's exactly what you're on. No, I'm sorry. It was Live and Let Croissant. Yeah. all right. So my number three is Banquet's Chicken Pot Pie, the one that started it all. And it's only still only 79 cents or under a dollar. The Banquet Chicken Pot Pie can be mashed up. We talked about this on another show. George even mashed up two of them together to make one meal because they
six
are
6 minutes.
Small.
And while one is cooking, or finished cooking. Yeah. Oh, I've got a whole science. Go back. Yeah. What episode was that, Tom?
Yeah.
Tom?
I think it was best chicken dish episode. So, but George has, for George's recipe and other great recipes from the Crispy Coated Robots, please just mail in. I want your recipe at crispycoatedrobots@gmail.com. So,
yeah, nothing will happen, but thanks.
But nothing beats the original chicken. You have turkey. They have beef now too, but the chicken is the best. So,
Now
the cube of chicken.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow. Caitlin presents Skydiving Sounds as our intermission. So enjoy.
Ah, my shoe won't open. My shoe won't open. That's a sound that I would hear. Someone need to pull their cord and didn't. So here's another sound you heard.
Flat on the ground. All right. So we are back now to the office episode. Number three for you, Joseph, is what?
Okay. This comes from season one and it's considered to be the top rated season one episode. And it's actually the second episode, Diversity Day. This is one that is a little bit controversial now, because a lot of people, with modern
not
day sensibilities,
a lot. I mean, you don't see it a lot in syndication.
You don't, but it is absolutely hilarious. It's really biting, and that's sort of my point is that I felt like the first couple of seasons of The Office, it had this biting humor to it. But it was done so well in a sarcastic way of making fun of bad behavior. Yeah, and this is one
good
where
satire. Yeah,
it's great satire. And it really, the first couple of seasons was more about office antics to where it became. And that's what happens to most shows that have a long run, that it wasn't necessarily character based because the characters were still developing. So it really was more about situational comedy. And this is one where it's, sensitivity training gone wrong. Like everything that sensitivity training was supposed to be turns out doesn't work. Of course, it's all involving awkward role playing. and saying, this is what you're not supposed to do. And they would do a scenario, you know, Michael ends up being, you know, just really, really just racist, you know, in his claim not to be racist, you know, with it. He gets slapped. Toby, who's the HR and his nemesis, you know, on it. Great line how that is. This is the environment of welcoming, and you should get the hell out of here. You know, that's what tells Toby on it. It's,
I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, Steve Carell, like, get three episodes in, and they're going to tell you you're going to repeat a Chris Rock bit that's controversial already, and the way he does it so with such emotion, and just if you've seen the original Chris Rock bit, it's exactly the same, of course, with Steve Carell doing an impersonation, but it's the same in
place exactly
and everything. So,
I mean, so anyways, this is why it's my number three, because I think it was really cutting edge humor whenever you're watching on major network television, and it worked, you know, it totally worked. So there you go.
George, what is your number three?
My number three is The Golden Ticket. This is from season 5, episode 19. And Michael's always just kind of doing these weird little things. And this one, he shows up in a purple velvet jacket, a top hat, and a bow tie to kick off this idea that he has, the Willy Wonka Golden Ticket promotional idea. And that's where the Scranton office is going to offer these percentage discounts. And what he has done is placed these golden tickets in paper boxes of client orders. And of course it backfires. Okay. So when David Wallace from corporate, I guess, comes down, Michael gets Dwight to kind of fall on his sword. He forces him, he lies, and he tells David that the idea was Dwight's. And the way it kind of works out at the end is the what was going to be a cosmic failure with this thing turns around. It's their biggest client, which I want to say it was like Blue Cross or something, or I don't remember who it was, but it was going to be millions of dollars down the tube. And because of that, they were so touched, and they said, we're going to start ordering office supplies too, you know? And so it all worked out. And of course, Michael's like, well, actually it was my idea, David. And, you know, throws Dwight under the bus for the second time, but the Golden Ticket.
Great.
All right. My number three is the episode that aired after the Super Bowl, got the coveted after the Super Bowl spot. I remember staying up late to watch this one. It is Stress Relief. It's a two-part episode, and this episode has produced more viral videos than pretty much every Office episode. You have the beginning with Dwight's fire drill he tells nobody about, and you have cats falling from ceilings, and you have you know, people, Oscar falling through the ceiling. You have also the Stanley has a heart attack after this fake thing, and then Dwight gets reprimanded. So you also have the great CPR scene when they, you know, it should be the thing of staying alive, and they have them all start jumping up and dancing to Staying Alive. And then Dwight cuts off the head of the dummy after the dummy dies and harvests the dummy's organs and puts the face on like Hannibal Lecter. That's another viral video. And then of course, after the episode, we find out that Stanley comes back to work, and he realizes Michael tries to do all this stress relieving stuff, like have yoga and all these kind of things where Meredith is like flashing him. He's like, oh God. But you finally realize that Michael is the reason Stanley is stressed. So he decides to throw the roast of Michael Scott so everybody can kind of get the stress off their chest. But as we've talked about so far this episode, Michael throws out the insults and is mean. But when it actually comes back on him, he can't take it and leaves right. work for a couple days. Then he comes back for the classic line. I've seen mugs and shirts like this with the boom roasted speech at the end. You know, Kevin, you're fat, boom roasted. Oscar, you're gay, boom roasted. And this somehow they also fit in Jack Black and Cloris Leachman and Jessica Alba, like in, you know, they're watching this movie on the side. Andy's trying to be a cinephile. So one of the best episodes, two-part of Stress Relief featuring the roast of Michael Scott is my number three. So nice. We're on now to number two, frozen food aisle. Joseph, what you got?
Ice cream and ice cream products.
That's my number one, half gallon of ice cream, any type. So that's a match. Number two is Red Baron frozen pizza.
My number one, pizza.
We always have one of these, and it's not the greatest meal. It's not even really a good meal, but it'll keep you alive for a few hours so you can have a real meal. We like them, but it's like a guilty pleasure kind of meal. It's not like you, oh, I can't wait to eat that. It's like, hey, we got one of these. We can do this. Yeah, let's put it in. It's like that. But there's nothing else like it but Red Baron frozen pizza.
I had a cauliflower pizza this evening. I had one this evening. And HEB has a great cauliflower pizza. It's their brand. And it's pretty close to the real thing. What I like about cauliflower pizza is it doesn't bloat you up like real pizza does. So yeah, if you're
I had the Lean Cuisine version. It does include, you know, as I mentioned last show,
I'm all about the bloat.
It has the flatulence, though. You don't get the bloat, but you get a lot of flatulence.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the HEB one doesn't give you the flatulence, I promise you. So you may want to try that. You may want to switch over. You may want to switch over, Jim.
About the bloat. I'll take the bloat. You know, makes me feel like I got my money's worth there.
My number two is, I'm surprised it's not on George's list, because he actually cooked them in my presence. I think one of the first times I went to his house, either re-recording, we're doing one of our first podcasts, or we were playing music, but he was making State Farm corn dogs. Which are sometimes it's hard to find frozen food that actually tastes like the original, or like you get at a carnival or whatever.
Corn dogs, the bar is set pretty low.
Yeah. But I'm saying State Farm corn dogs, they're actually pretty good. I mean, they are. You're at a fair or something like that, a little mustard, you are good to go. And speaking of a meal, they come in like in a box of 10, so you could really go nuts or feed your family.
Oh yeah.
This is something the family wants.
So here's the thing, in the same freezer. So what Jim is talking about, in my garage, we have a freezer, just because our fridge in the house isn't really big. And we got four people there. So right next to the pizzas are these corn dogs that he's talking about. And you just nuke them for 30 seconds and you're good to go. Yeah, so there's always pizza, mustard, and corn dogs at the Padgett house.
All right. We're moving on now to the number two Office episode. Joseph, what do you have?
The first episode from season four, entitled Fun Run. I love this episode. I felt like this was the episode that I was just like, this is a very, very funny show. I mean, I liked it. I liked it already, you know, but this show, this particular one, there's so many things about it that I really like about it. You know, Michael, it starts out with Michael, you know, running over Meredith in the parking lot, taking her to the hospital and finding out she has rabies. So it sort of already has that, you know, just really just super silly, you know, type of humor going with it as well. So he decides that he's going to do a fun run together. This is where Jim and Pam sort of get together. You know, they're sort of walking all that. But I got to say, the thing that kills me about this, because it's the Michael Scott's Dunder Mifflin Scranton Meredith Palmer Memorial Celebrity Rabies Awareness Pro-Am Fun Run Race for the Cure. That's the title of it. But the best is that Toby wins the race, which is awesome and handy.
Nipple chafing, right?
Nipple chasing. Yeah. He has a bloody shirt.
Yeah.
Because the nipple chasing. And Michael Scott decides that he's going to start the race by eating fettuccine Alfredo.
Yes.
He eats like whole pasta of it without drinking anything. So he gets started in this race and he cannot finish it. He just cannot finish it. So it's a great episode to me. Just all cylinders on this one.
Don't Jim and Pam go to like an estate sale? They just or a garage sale or something.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, no one's taking it seriously. They find out that it's like, you know, a big circle. So great stuff.
All right. Wow, that's George, what's your number two?
Season 5, episode 28, Company Picnic. So this season's finale marks some major changes for the characters, particularly Jim and Pam, who find out that Pam is pregnant after she hurts her ankle playing volleyball at the company picnic. But the best part of it is classic Michael Scott. He's with Holly. They're doing like a talent show, this really awkward talent show. And they do this parody. When this episode came out, Slumdog Millionaire, was out. Okay. Won an Oscar, for best picture. So they come up with Slumdunder Miffinaire. So it's this parody, and through the course of it, they reveal, David, Michael's boss, had said something about how they were closing the Buffalo branch. And so they do in the play, this two person play, they talk about the closing of that office, and everybody from the Buffalo branch is there. All the branches are there at the company party, company picnic. And, all of a sudden they're like, wait, what? And, anyway, it goes south from there. And Michael, this is when you know Michael and Holly are soulmates, because they're oblivious to what they've done. And they're like, yeah, I thought it was really good. And what are we going to do next year? And all that. They're just oblivious. So, but Company Picnic, number two.
All right. I got to mention the number three one I mentioned was written by Toby, Stress Relief. Number two of mine, written by Mindy Kaling, it is the Dundies, the original Dundee episode where they have the awards for The Office and Michael sings parodies to Tiny Dancer, OPP, and also plays You Sexy Thing when Ryan is nominated wins hottest in The Office. Yeah. Kevin also wins Biggest Bowel Movement. and you have like in the fact that it happens in a Chili's, and he's the most, and this shows the edge. This is season two, episode one, when he brings out his character of Ping, which has the very racist Chinese glasses on, and he's doing, hello, this is Ping. And you see panning over his shoulder. There's someone Asian
American family
just looking at them, shaking their head. Yep. But there's a little bit of interruption in the restaurant as people like start to make fun of him. So they stop the Dundies for a second, but everybody brings it back. Pam's really drunk. She's drinking off everybody's table, 'cause Roy leaves early. And then you kind of have the first unofficial kiss with Jim and Pam.
Yeah.
She kind of kisses him after winning the award.
But so this is my number one, Jim.
Oh, really?
This is my number one.
And it's gotta be the first Dundies too. The other one was good, but it just
didn't. Right. Yeah. But this Pam actually has the best line in it. Finally, I want to thank God because God gave me this Dundee, and I feel God is in this Chili's tonight. It's great. I felt like this particular, you know, this was, like you said, episode one of the second season. And we've talked about The Office before, of saying how the first season was really more or less mirroring a lot of stuff that came from the British version. And then season two is when the American version found its own voice. I felt like this particular episode is where the ensembles really started. That wasn't just, you know, the Michael show. It was because you have all these characters in, they're all coming out there. You start to get to know who Stanley is and things of these nature, you know? So it's why it's my number one, because I felt like this is when it really started to become what it ended up being, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the fact there's no budget for it, everybody has to pay for their food, you know. And then
Kevin's award is Stinkiest Bowel Movement. Yeah. That is the best, you know.
He has Pam going through other versions of the Dundies to try to find a highlight reel before the show to hype it up. Crazy. But okay, well, let's move on now to the number one frozen food. Joseph.
Pizza. Done. Number I'm done.
You, George.
Gallon of ice cream, half gallon ice cream. So yeah, I'm done.
My number one is technically not pizza. It is pizza, but not. It is Stouffer's regular or Lean Cuisine French bread pizza. When frozen food first came in the microwave era, frozen pizza was a huge thing, along with pretzels and, believe it or not, donuts. But the French bread pizza, I believe, is kind of its own thing, having the big kind of French bread.
Well, what makes it its own thing is that it actually curls up on itself. When you burn it too much, it sort of becomes like a hot dog.
you're like, let's get a pizza, and then someone gives you a French bread pizza. Like, what's this? I think they're two different food groups. So I'm going to throw it in there. It's not going to get in there, but just for the sake of it, Stouffer's French bread pizza is my number one. Stouffer's getting some mention today with the cream chip beef also. All right, so we're on to the number one office episode. Joseph, you are done. George, what's your number one?
Mine is dinner party, so it's just up to you, Jimbo.
All right, number one. I think you guys knew this was coming after last week's episode. Number one is an episode titled The Carpet. And in The Carpet, Michael walks into his office to get a horrible smell. Something has been done to his carpet. He is completely offended. He thinks it's a hate crime, and he's trying to investigate the whole episode why somebody in the office hates him so much that they would take a crap on his carpet. So the funny scene is when he doesn't know quite what it is, and Kevin walks in there and they close the door on him. He's like, Michael, please, I'm going to throw up. So, but it's kind of almost like a detective episode because he's trying to figure out who did this. And we find out in the end, that it's Todd Packer, you know, because he calls him up. The greatest call in the office history, I think, is like, yeah, I'm looking for a gay nerd named like Michael Scott. Who is this? Your mom, you gay nerd. So it's like, did you get the package I gave you? And he's gonna go, no, what package? Did we get a package? And then I think Roy walks by, he goes, you mean the thing? He goes, oh. So I realized Todd Packer took a dump on his rug. And then he likes it. He's like, it was Packer. And the funny is, at the end, he's like, I wish I would have kept it. Perspective of being completely humiliated, thinking someone did this as a hate crime or whatever, to being overjoyed that Todd Packer played a prank on him is kind of the, and this was one of those two episodes too, Joseph, that kind of broke a little mold on TV. They don't actually show the crap, but there's like a faraway shot. You kind of see the top of it. So they took some to risk there. So there you go. There's my number one. For honorable mention, I had local ad. That's when they do the local ad and Andy can't figure out the Kit Kat theme. Give me a piece of that. He can't get it the whole episode. The injuries, one of mine, Joseph. Koi pond, when Michael accidentally falls into the koi pond, gets made fun of, and then he makes a list of things you can't make fun of people over. And Kevin's like, I don't like when you call me fat. He goes, all right, I'll just write this. He writes on the board, huge gut. And then Cafe Disco, I like that one. Drug testing, where we have the joint found in the parking lot.
That's a great one.
And, he went to the Alicia Keys concert, Michael, and doesn't want to do the drug test. Diversity Days on mine. And sexual harassment, when he's doing all the forwards and stuff like that. And you have the classic viral clip when he can't use That's What She Said anymore. And Jim Hoppert's kind of baiting him on.
It's hard. Oh, yeah.
That's going to be hard for you. That's what she said. Blows the kiss in the So that's my honorable mentions. Anything for you guys?
Sorry. Go ahead, George.
I've got one, Business School from season 3. And, that one is the one where Michael's a guest speaker at Ryan's business seminar. And it's just crazy.
He rips that book, your kid's book. You don't need this. He's like,
but then at the end, it's a very touching scene with Michael at Pam's art show. And I mean, there's such a beautiful moment, and she's the only one from Dunder Mifflin that's there and praising her drawing of the office exterior, which will become, spoiler, kind of one of the final moments of the series there. So but that's my honorable mention, Business School.
So I have two, Scotch Tots, which is
hard to watch.
It's just so
Donation where he
he promises them computers, but he gets them basically batteries to computers.
He promises that to pay their college tuition.
That's right. You need computers. He's like, basically, he comes to terms with, you know, this is when we start to see him come to terms with the idea that he's not as great as he thinks he is. That's always been a facade. You know, it's like, I'm going to make my first million whatever was in my 30s. I was far from it. I thought I was going to make it in my 40s. I actually had more money in my 30s than my 40s, so maybe my 50s. It's just so hard to watch, but that for me is like great. The other one that, you know, between Diversity Day and this one was Gay Witch Hunt. Gay Witch Hunt is when he outs Oscar.
Yeah.
And does it in a way that's just like, the intent is there, but he's just so incompetent.
Yeah.
About trying to make Oscar feel okay about, you know, coming out to everyone, that just becomes awkward and just cringeworthy. So much worse.
Yeah, I like Scott's Tots when Stanley just realizes that's there, those kids are graduating, just starts laughing because he knows that what he's promised them, just like laughs really hard. But yeah. All right. So, any frozen food honorable mentions?
Peas and carrots.
Okay. Left mine all on the table.
Yeah, me too. So I'm good. So what we have?
No apologies. No, stop. Tom, we don't have any apologies. We found out that the last two episodes were really good. So.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the voting board then. I guess we have more frozen than we have The Office. So we'll start.
Yeah, frozen food. We have the crinkle cut fries from Orida, Red Baron frozen pizza or any pizza, and then ice cream. What we have to choose from: juice concentrates, Jimmy Dean bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich, TV dinners, Caribbean, I guess,
Food Delights Jamaican style
beef patties, waffles.
We're making waffles
for those of you that don't love your kids. Just put a waffle in their backpack and lock the door.
That's right.
Stouffer's cream chip beef,
which is the frozen version of corned beef hash, kind of like
equal. Banquet chicken pot pie, State Farm corn dogs,
yes,
and Stouffer's French bread pizza.
You can actually bundle those State Farm corn dogs if you have auto insurance in the house with insurance.
That's right. I could throw a vote towards those corn dogs.
I thought we're gonna get a match on that one. I do like them myself, so yeah, if you want to put there, I'm all for that.
Joseph, are you
Yeah, I'm not gonna go against corn dogs. I like corn dogs.
I need to get one entry in with my bizarre list.
So, Joseph, you were waffles, right?
I was waffles.
Let's do waffles. What do you think?
My kids lived on waffles pretty much there growing up.
I'm telling you, right? You just send them, put in a napkin and send them on their way.
Corn dogs, waffles, ice cream, pizza, and French fries. Actually, that would not be a bad meal. Just think about that.
On the waffles.
Friday night, it's midnight. Yeah, all of those would work.
Smoked a lot of pot. No, I'm joking.
Smoked a lot of pot, or you're about to. Yeah. Get the standbys ready. What we have to choose from: The Office, only two matches, the dinner party and the Dundies. The others that we have, the carpet, we know how much Jim fancies a good crap on the floor. Fun Run, Stress Relief, Diversity Day, Prison Mike, The Injury, Threat Level Midnight, which I kind of have feelings about that. Company Picnic, Money, Golden Ticket, and Beach Games. I'm going to go ahead and jump in with Threat Level Midnight because I love the fact that they brought that back after so long and then did something with it that was fun. So
yeah, Billie Eilish is a big Office fan. She sampled that whole thing. I can't do that since my, you know, hey, Billy, I can't do that since my wife died or whatever. Sample that for one of her songs.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah. So,
Joseph, what do you think here?
I like the carpet. I got to say, I really like it because, like Jim said, it's very edgy. I mean, for that to be on network television.
Of Seinfeld's contest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really was. It really was. It was
so showing the day and injury were on mine too. So I mean, I'm fine with
you. Well, take your pick, Jim. Which one?
I mean, Diversity Day is so groundbreaking and it's so controversial they barely show it. But the injury I watched last night, and that's a pretty solid episode too. I guess Diversity Day, because I think maybe the injuries like the carpet, you know, kind of similar.
Yeah.
So Diversity Day is just way out there. And he has, and Michael has the slick back hair from the first season too. So
people, right.
They need to see that. Yeah. They try to make like Ricky Gervais that first season looking like that and realize that he looked ridiculous.
All right. So we end up with The Dinner Party, Threat Level Midnight, Diversity Day, The Dundies, and
The Carpet.
The Carpet. What's that carpet. What's that smell? So, yeah. Very nice.
All right. So crispycoatedrobots.com is where you need to go for all the information on us. We still have a lot of merch. And I think we ordered way too much. So,
but please, again, take a picture, send it to our email.
Can they just do the top five?
You don't even have to buy it. You don't even have to buy it. Just go into the grocery store, hold it up.
It's got to be the 15. So it would have to be.
I was just making sure that wasn't just
the top. Now, it could all be in one basket. If you want to save digital film, if that's where you're headed with that, Jim, a basket containing juice concentrates, Orida crinkle cut French fries, Jimmy Dean bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich, Red Baron frozen pizza, a gallon or half gallon of ice cream, TV dinners, Caribbean food delights, Jamaican style beef patties, waffles, Stouffer's crisp cream chip beef, banquet chicken pot pie, State Farm corn dogs, and don't forget, Stouffer's French bread pizza.
George, how long does this offer last? Because like 30 years from now, someone comes up to you on the street and says, hey, I got my
pizza. Oh, I'll be dead by then, so I don't care.
Okay, yeah. little took a morbid turn there. The
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm surprised I made it this long eating all this stuff. So, yeah.
All right, crispycoatedrobots.com is where you need to go for all the information. And like I said, we've talked about the merch there. Check us out. We also have our albums we reviewed and back episodes too. So enjoy that. George, for your official close of the show, go ahead and go.
Remember, there's always tomorrow.
That's what she said.
Or is there?
Nice.